Hi, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health, your hormones, your weight, everything you need to know so you can really evaluate the options and find the path that really works best for you. You know, we're all unique individuals. There is no one size fits all, but the more we are armed with knowledge, the more we can find the path and the direction and the options that work best for us. So that's what this program is all about, and it's an opportunity to just keep expanding your mind, expanding your awareness. And that is really what it's all about. So today we're going to have another mind-expansive interview. And my guest today is Dr. Meir Eisenstein, who is quite an inspiration for me personally and has always been the source of great knowledge, wisdom. He just offers profound perspectives and is willing, most of all, to tell the truth. So first of all, let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Eisenstein. He is a graduate of the University of Illinois Medical School, the Medical College of Wisconsin School of Public Health, and the John Marshall Law School. In his 40 years in medicine, he and his practice have cared for over 50,000 children who were minimally or not vaccinated at all. There is virtually no autism, asthma, allergies, respiratory illness, or diabetes in our unvaccinated children, a telltale revelation when compared to a national statistic. He is the founder and medical director of the Einstein Medical Centers. He is board certified by the American Board of Public Health and Preventive Medicine. He is also a member of the Illinois Bar. His latest book, Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate, goes along with his other books, Making an Informed Vaccine Decision, Unavoidable Dangers, Medical Hazards of HRT, and Unlocking Nature's Pharmacy. Give birth at home with the home birth advantage, Safer Medicine, Unavoidable Dangers, Medical Hazards of HRT, and some of his many guest appearances include The Oprah Winfrey Show and Hannity. Using the Einstein Metabolic Syndrome and HCG protocols since September 2009, he has lost over 100 pounds. In March 2010, he started the Einstein Metabolic Syndrome and HCG Weight Loss Clinic based in the same protocol that he followed. His metabolic program is the first, in the first 3 years, has helped over 1,000 patients lose more than 20 tons. Now, if that doesn't make you kind of stand up and pay attention, I don't know what will. So it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Meir Eisenstein to the show today.
Oh, Dr. Cheryl, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you. As we were talking before the show, I was rereading one of your books, Hormone Heresy, which, by the way, is just as excellent as when I read it a few years ago. And your book on HCG is exquisite. I mean, you know, absolutely exquisite. I mean, I have it right here on my shelf also. One of the things we're going to talk about, I think, is how do we engage more people? How do we get more people engaged, you know, in something that's so absolutely successful and helps? And so many of us, including myself, need help in the area of being overweight.
So we're going to have a potpourri today because there's so many topics that I find absolutely necessary to discuss. So we're going to talk about the obesity epidemic and why you and myself as well have been so committed to the HCG protocol. We're also going to talk about another topic that we're really passionate about, which is the pill. And the third topic that we are also passionate about are the dangers about vaccines. So let's start with weight, because we are living in a time and in a country and in a world that has now exploded. We have an epidemic that has never existed before in the history of humanity, and this is the epidemic of obesity and all the problems and health risks and chronic illnesses that are associated with it. So why don't we just start by talking about why, of all the choices out there for losing weight, none of which really work, why was the HCG protocol, and maybe we should explain a little bit about what HCG is because not everyone knows about it. I think that's a good place to start. And then why it attracted you.
I was over 300 pounds, actually close to 350, actually more than that, for a good part of 30 years. And I tried everything you can think of. There wasn't a program that I didn't try. Liquid protein, powder protein, Atkins, take off pounds, put on pounds, you know, and all of them had the same effect. There would be a 20 or 30 pound weight loss, tremendous excitement that this is it, and then it would stop at that. And I never could figure out why, and then all of a sudden I'd be weighing more than I did before. And about 4 years ago, well, it's almost 5 years ago now, I was at a medical conference speaking about one of my favorite subjects, the worthlessness of the flu vaccine. It was actually 2009 where the government was promoting the swine flu vaccine. And I met one of my classmates, and I hadn't seen her in 30, 35 years. And my wife pretended I didn't know who she was, and my wife was half right. The only reason she wasn't completely right, there were only four women in my medical school class out of 200, and I knew she wasn't one of three, so she only could have been the other one. And she was about 5'4", 135, 140 pounds, and she pulls out a picture of herself, and she shows it to me that 9 years earlier she weighed 230 pounds. And she told me she had done the HCG program, which I knew nothing about for all practicality. And here I was at a conference with pharmacists and doctors, so I had a chance to speak to a lot of people. And I started myself in 2009, and my God, it was like the – and she told me, you have to do this, Mayor. You have to do this, you know. And I didn't know what I was doing when I started in 2009, you know. But my son started with me, and then my wife and my daughter joined me, and it just was so successful that by Christmas time we had lost more than 100 pounds collectively, and to date it must be about 250 or 300 pounds. I put back some weight, and you know we talked about this a little bit, but insignificant compared to the amount, but significant from a standpoint of it's kind of the second phase that we'll talk about also. And I've had the same problem with many of my patients who are still way thinner than they were when they started. But as time goes on, you kind of lose a little bit of your edge as such. I then kind of studied it, Cheryl. And since I wasn't going to implement it into the practice until I can really kind of give some sound evidence, and one of the most sound evidence was I started, I was 275 pounds, and I told people, all the patients, I said, you'll know if it doesn't work. If I don't get thinner with you, then it doesn't work. Or if I become 350 pounds, it's very visible. It's not like trying to discuss the birth control pill or the vaccines, where you're speaking in sense in theoretical terms what's going to happen. Here it's very physical. You're right in front of the person. You aren't going anywhere.
And because it's so successful, I want to make the distinction why this protocol, which was based on the work of an English endocrinologist who was seeking the cause of obesity, and then the next step was obviously to find the solution for right. Why the body is storing fat. And that's what attracted me, because like you, you know, I struggled with weight. I tried different things. Nothing worked. And we were searching for like the holy grail of the weight
right.
loss of the weight loss process, and we found it.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I give a lecture on HCG, I go over and I'm looking for my PowerPoint, but I'll try to remember it. I'll find it here most probably in a few minutes. You know, I think that we can boil it down to something. I think that Dr. Simeon was genius, absolutely genius. We talk about him at every new patient session. I mean, but I'm not sure, you know, I'm trying to think of the right words. It's sometimes you find the answer, but you one of his main theories was you can actually reset your metabolism. I'm not sure I believe that. But it's not relevant. Here's the most relevant point, what Dr. Simeon pointed out. And we can boil down to one reason why you do HCG and not every one of the other type of programs. We do body composition at every visit. And it's a very simple machine which measures the body fat, body muscle, and body water. You can show with every person who's on HCG that they're going to lose about 70% fat and less than 10% water. I'm sorry, less than 10% muscle. That's the key of HCG. Yes. HCG does not cause you to lose weight. And Dr. Simeon said, if you take 100 people who lose 50 pounds and 100 people, two groups, they each lost 50 pounds, the one group was on HCG, the other group was on all the other type of calorie-restricted programs. You can tell the difference between the two. And he's right, because the people on HCG will have lost more fat than muscle, and they're going to look thinner than they are. You know, and now, looking thinner than you are isn't the goal, but having the less fat you have in your body, the healthier you are. I mean, that no one will argue that point. You know, the whole craving of low-fat food was wrong because we somehow equated low-fat food with low-fat in our body, and we forgot that fat is an essential part, especially healthy fats, you know. But that's HCG. There's no way to lose weight without restricting your calories. End of story. There is no magic bullet. All the stuff you'll see every few weeks on the internet, you know, that here's the latest natural supplement. All of them will be fine, but it's not going to really do very much. The only way to lose weight is to restrict your calories. And what HCG does is cause you to burn fat and not muscle. And the consequence of that is your basal metabolic rate does not continuously go down. Because the only thing that affects basal metabolic rate is muscle loss. And when you minimize muscle loss, your rate stays the same. And so your calorie intake isn't going to change very much once you find the amount you should be eating. And I'm not a big believer in counting calories. But I got to tell you something, Cheryl. I got down to 299 pounds. And I was thrilled. That was one of the happiest days of my life. I didn't think I'd ever get under 300 pounds. And I was by this time 65, 66 years old. And I wasn't going to get over 300. And the way the program goes, you lose on the HCG, you maintain when you're off. And different doctors have come up with how long you can be on HCG, how long you can be off. But essentially, it's all the same. You lose on the HCG, you maintain when you're off. And I wasn't going to gain an ounce on my maintenance. And a month later, I weighed almost to the ounce, 299.6 pounds. A year later, and I was then substantially lighter a year later, I thought about it. I was eating approximately 1,500 calories during my first maintenance period, 1,500 calories. And the one thing good or bad about being a doctor, you kind of remember everything. I'm not sure it's a good thing. Sometimes it's good to forget things, you know. And if you think, I can remember things, you have to look at my classmates who are just photographic memories. So I couldn't get over, how is it possible that a just under 300-pound man for 30 days can eat 1,500 calories and not lose an ounce? So it wasn't, when I thought about it, it wasn't that I had not gained weight, but if you look at the charts, it would have said 2,500, 2,800. That was the bad news. Here's the good news. 60 pounds lighter, I eat about the same on maintenance. And so, because the only thing that burns calories is muscle. And if you lose very little muscle, it's not going to change your metabolic rate. But what's going to change is you have to realize you have to eat a whole lot less than all the books are telling us.
And the other point that's a really important distinction about other weight loss programs that aren't using the HCG protocol is that you're losing weight on the scale, you're losing weight, but what you're really losing is muscle mass, which is the last right. thing you want to be losing, because the muscles help with the metabolism of the body.
Exactly, and that's why the weight loss industry, they've come up with a mantra, two words that don't belong together, diet and exercise. The two words do not belong together. And the reason they do it is because they realize all their diet programs don't work because you lose so much muscle. And so they kind of blame you that, or may say you've got to work out, but you can't possibly work out enough to put on muscle mass compared to what you're going to lose it when you have a calorie-restricted program. You know, but their way they can blame you. Well, you didn't go to the gym enough. You didn't work out enough. And everyone's shocked what Dr. Simeon said, that on his program there's no excessive working out. He didn't want you to stand on the couch and be a couch potato, but he also didn't want you running 3 miles a day or running 4 miles a day or being on the treadmill for an hour every day. Because in the HCG protocol set up by Dr. Simeon, you've got a very low-calorie diet, and you want the HCG to be burning your fat, not your muscle, and you don't want to be needing extra calories because you're working out. What's shocking is I didn't realize how much you have to work out in order to lose weight. At least 26 miles, if you run a marathon, you will lose 1 pound, 1 pound of fat, 26 miles, you know. And so you figure that it's not possible. So people wonder, well, I run 2 or 3 miles a day. And I've done this for a month, and I've lost 2 pounds. That's right. It doesn't take very much to eat to put it back on. And so it's kind of the wrong way of looking at it, how to get yourself metabolically healthier.
And the other key point you just said I think is really powerful. We must restrict calories because we're eating far too many calories, far too many carbs, far too much sugar, not enough of the foods that help to support metabolism. So anyone who wants to be healthy, I mean, it's a rejuvenation strategy. It's not just for weight loss. What we now know is to survive and thrive, the body requires nutrient-dense food and less calories than we are taking in because we're surrounded by cheap carb processed crappy food. And so we have to restrict the calories. I want to say that when I did the HCG protocol, because you're going on a restricted caloric intake, but you're getting your energy and you're releasing these calories in your stored fat, I wasn't hungry. And it reprogrammed me because I eat a whole lot less and my appetite's a whole lot less. And I've been able to maintain the weight loss. By the way, I lost 30 pounds in 4 dress sizes, which was stuck on me. I couldn't shift it no matter what I did. And that's why I became such a big fan of the HCG protocol, because it transformed my body in front of my very eyes in a 3-week period of time.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because my wife and I collectively lost almost 200 pounds. And even though we've put on a little bit of weight and we're going to vigorously work in 2014. I have to come to you, Cheryl. Really, I'm dead serious. I mean, it's almost like I have to I need to counsel. I need to be under someone else's supervision. That's why I believe it has to be a monitored program. It doesn't necessarily have to be face-to-face, but it has to be someone. And you want people who have been successful. So you can't go to an 80-pound nutritionist and expect to lose weight, no matter what, because they don't know what it is to be overweight. And so their answer is always the same, just eat a little bit less and work out a little bit more. Always the same, and they blame you. But the problem is, with more than 60 or 70% of the country overweight, when you have such a large percentage, there's got to be something going on more than just lazy, unmotivated people, which in my mind I've never seen.
And I want to say one other thing. The protocol that is the foundation of this Simeon's work, this HCG approach, is really talking a lot about the hypothalamus, which is this key controlling center in our brain that regulates metabolism. And the more I do research, Dr. Mayer, the more I see all the factors that are influencing compromising really the functioning of the hypothalamus, which is not protected from the toxins, from the inflammation, from the stress. Our hypothalamus is a key component of the body's ability to manage and regulate metabolism, but it's so challenged now and impaired because of what we are exposed to in our 21st century living, of all the toxins that have a huge impact on this high, and stress affecting.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, and it's a struggle. It's a daily struggle, no matter what. I mean, because I really thought when I lost over 100 pounds, I would never ever put on an ounce. But I can tell you what got me stuck. I was so infatuated at number 100 that even getting to 110, 120 wasn't as satisfying. It sounds crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That 100 was such a fixation in my mind, and I think you've got to get away, and I tell that to all my patients, and I'm telling it to myself, there's not a number. You're not looking at a number. You're looking at eating healthy, staying away from carbohydrates, eating less, and forget about the numbers. That'll work out itself. I could tell you something really depressing. I mean, really, really depressing. I did a little study about a year ago, and I've done it over and over again now. I had 16 people who were diabetic, and they came to me. I don't really take care of diabetic patients. And 8 or 9 of them were on insulin. They started the HCG program, and I was, I'd already been comfortable working with their endocrinologist because most of the doctors there didn't know anything about it, so they were willing to let them try. At the end of 6 months, the average person lost 50 pounds. 15 of the 16 people were no longer diabetic at all. Many of them didn't even need insulin, didn't need any diabetic medication. Mind-boggling, in a sense, you know. And, in fact, very interesting, part of our program, and I know it's yours also, Dr. Cheryl, is I'm a very big believer in nutritional supplements, especially ones that we can't get in our diet, the vitamin D, the probiotics. And so one of my patients said to me, she went to her diabetic specialist, who was very happy with everything, but wasn't happy with that she was taking 10,000 units of vitamin D a day. And she said to him, I've been coming to you for 15 years. All you've done is give me more medications and tell me to just diet and exercise. I'm with Dr. Eisner for 6 months, and I'm no longer diabetic. You know, but anyways, the 16th person who lost the most weight of anyone in the little program here was still diabetic. He was so thin, I can't even tell you. He had lost 70 pounds, and he was now 6'4", 200 pounds. And to let the listeners know how thin that is, every inch can hold about 10 pounds, which means if he was the equivalent of 6 feet tall, he'd be like 160. If he was 5'10", he'd be 140. If he was 5'8", he would be like 120. He was model quality thin. And so we went and looked at his numbers. And what he said to me was he would lose 30 pounds on each round of HCG. He figured that, and he put 10 pounds back on in between. He said, I figure I had a cushion. So he had actually lost 90 pounds in 6 months. But because he was yo-yoing, and even though his yo-yoing was at a very low level, you know, he was still, he started off at 260, now 200. That was enough to keep his metabolic numbers not good. And I found this now with blood pressure, the same thing. People whose blood pressure was normal without medication, if they put on any weight, even though they were much lighter than they were when they started, would still have blood pressure issues. Not fun. It's frightening.
Well, yeah, so what you're saying is that yo-yoing, putting on, taking off, putting on, is a stressor to the system.
Just what you're saying. Even if your overall number is much lower. So, you know, so let's say someone's 350 pounds like myself and got down. At when I was 300, I no longer had blood pressure issues. And not at all, 300, 290, 280, 270, 60. I put on a few pounds, and I'm 100 pounds lighter than before. And I have some blood pressure issues that I really have to work at, and I hope I'll be able to get it back, which is really frightening.
So you think that's related to some of that, just putting on a little more weight was because it's a, you know, it's impacting the physiology of the body. Any thoughts on that? Why it's such a stressor that
what you said? Well, I was listening to what you were saying earlier. You know, it's the stress may not be how much you weigh, but the stress is putting on weight somehow has a metabolic negative effect on the body.
Just pushing you over the edge with more inflammation,
right, exactly.
Stress.
And no matter all the vitamin D you take and all the vitamin C and probiotics, doesn't seem to help. You just can't put the weight back on. I mean, it's frightening. It means there's no leeway, which means you're never really cured of metabolic syndrome, of being diabetic, being high blood pressure, high cholesterol. You're never cured of it. All it is staying in control. Once your system is ruined, in a sense, you can control it by not putting on weight. But the minute you put on any weight, there's a high probability it's going to start all the metabolic issues are going to start coming back.
And I think we just have to acknowledge that there are so many factors that never existed before, again, in the history of humanity, that's impacting our weight, and that's exposure to all the toxins, the hormone-disrupting chemicals that also impact insulin sensitivity. We're dealing with exposure to the wireless world. We know that EMFs can increase stress response, cortisol levels, and create inflammation, alter hormones, insulin resistance. That's from the wireless world, not to mention the levels of stress, nutrient deficiency. I mean, the list goes on and on what's challenging us, and it is a challenge these days to be able to achieve our ideal weight, our ideal muscle mass, and manage our stress levels.
I think you're 100% right. You know, and I can tell you that anyone, I know, Dr. Cheryl, you're going to be running your program, and anyone who's listening who's interested in losing weight, give Dr. Cheryl a call because she will help you. It's the real deal, you know. And, you know, what can you
say? And the thing is that we were both learning for ourselves and in our practice. This is just this program is a kickstart program. It kickstarts us. It motivates us. It supports the body in going in the direction of healing. And then we need to be supported on an ongoing basis so we can maintain and achieve ever greater levels of optimal health, which means we have to understand the impact of certain foods and carbs, and we need to know the role of nutrition and how to manage our stress. So this is just the beginning of turning around the bigger process that will support us for the long term. It's not the end in itself. It's just the beginning of the journey. It's just a fabulous way to inspire, initiate, and support the healing of the body.
Oh, so beautifully said, perfectly said, you know. And it's if anyone thinks that, I think you're right. I mean, it's not, it's the beginning. And God willing, it's the beginning of a long journey that stays in the right path for a long time.
So, well, good. I mean, I think we've said and shared a lot about our own personal experiences and what we have found that worked and why we're so passionate about it. And maybe this is a really good time to take a quick break, and then we'll come back because we have some other really important topics to talk about, like some of the revelations about the dangers and health risks from the pill and vaccines. So why don't we do that? We'll just take a quick break. This is Dr. Cheryl Sulman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. We are having this enlightening conversation with Dr. Mayer Eisenstein, and we'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Sulman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are having a really profound conversation with Dr. Mayer Eisenstein. I have to say, Dr. Mayer Eisenstein is one of my favorite people. He always inspires me. I always learn a tremendous deal from him. And what I love about you, Dr. Mayer, is the level of integrity that you come from, because you're one of these researchers. I mean, you're a lawyer, you have a master's in public health, you're a medical doctor, you are a seeker of truth. And I always listen to you because you're not there to promote something for to make money or to toe the party line. You are there because you are seeking the truth and seeking to support the health and well-being of your patients and your greater audience, such as what we're addressing now.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you. You know,
well, I do. No, I really want to acknowledge you because you are such a paradigm of someone committing his life to truth, even though it bucks the system and gets you into trouble at times. And that's what it takes to be a heretic.
Oh, can you hold on just one second? I'll be right back.
And that's what happens when we're dealing with live interviews. So, we're waiting for Dr. Eisenstein to come back. I just want to say that what we're going to be talking about in the second half actually will be some of the newest findings about the pill, and particularly the dangers of the pill. This is a topic that both Dr. Mayer Eisenstein and myself have really been passionate about, is enlightening people about the real dangers and risks about the pill. So I think you're back, right?
I'm back. Yeah, thank you.
That's what happens when you're on call as a medical doctor. I understand. So let's jump right into the pill, because you were sharing with me before the show some really startling statistics, and I'm just going to let you take it from here.
Yeah, I've always been questioning the birth control pill, and it really goes back to my late mentor, Dr. Herbert Ratner. And Dr. Ratner was a family doctor, a philosopher. He wrote multiple peer-reviewed articles. And his passion really started with the birth control pill, how dangerous it was. And he used the word that the birth control pill was unavoidably dangerous. And I wrote about this about 15 years ago and kind of never thought about it very much. And Dr. Cheryl wrote a phenomenal book, Hormone Heresy, which talks about women and their hormones, and she has a chapter on the birth control pill, and I reread it. Cheryl, I love your byline, the pill, a bitter pill to swallow. Couldn't be any better. And just a couple of days ago, a study came out. Researchers found an increased risk of multiple sclerosis among women who have taken oral contraceptives. And it was actually a quite large study done at Kaiser Permanente. And they looked at 305 women ages 14 to 48 who were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And multiple sclerosis is a growing, frightening disease, more of women than of men, which is interesting. And they found that there was a 30% increased risk of developing multiple sclerosis among women who had at least 3 months of oral contraceptive use compared to controls. You know what scared me, Dr. Cheryl? 3 months. That is just such a small number. And my oldest daughter, who is I work with, who's a nurse practitioner, she's a professor at DePaul, and she teaches women's health, mainly to young women. And she told me that virtually 100% of her students in the 10 years she worked there are on or have been on the birth control pill. These are frightening numbers.
These are frightening numbers, and we need to say that MS is an autoimmune disease, and it goes after the myelin sheath, so it destroys kind of your nervous system. And I just had a friend who died of MS recently, and this is a growing problem. All autoimmune diseases are increasing in numbers. Do you think that the pill is actually contributing to the growing incidence of autoimmune diseases in general?
I don't think there's any question about it. The birth control pill, the bioidentical hormones, not the bioidentical, the synthetic hormones, and may even be the bioidentical hormones also. The vaccines, all these have in them components. The main components are a problem, but there's also adjuvants in them, in all these things. And you don't know what we're reacting to, but the body doesn't recognize it. When someone takes any one of the forms of birth control pill, the body doesn't recognize it. And it has to be detoxified by the liver and the kidney. The amount, and it's not on the tip of my tongue, but I think that the amount of estrogen that's in the birth control pills, which is much less than it was years ago, but it's still something like 10,000 more than the body produces every day, because that's how much it takes in order to overcome the effects of the body just rejecting it. And whatever the reason is, the numbers were significantly a statistical relevant, and you can never prove anything 100% by statistics. You know, correlation doesn't always mean causation. But it surely points us in a very strong direction to that. And all you have to do is look at the handout that the pharmaceutical industry gives you. And, Dr. Cheryl, you did a great job in your book of synthesizing it. You know, the minor side effects and the serious side effects. You start looking at it, and weight gain, as we were talking about the segment before, is clearly one of the, and I'm not sure you could classify that anymore as minor. I think that may have to move into a major side effect or It's not a side effect. It's the effect of the pill, because the pill has no natural purpose. If you take an antibiotic, there is a natural purpose. The natural purpose is to destroy the bacteria. But there's no natural purpose to taking the birth control pill. So all the effects aren't side effects. They're effects of the birth control pill. The weight gain, the clots, the MS, that's a straight effect. It's not a side effect. It's what the birth control pill causes, along with one of its effects is to prevent implantation of the fetus into the uterus. It looks like you can get pregnant on the birth control pill. And it's interesting because I've gone back to many of the Catholic authorities and the Orthodox Jewish authorities and told them that by Orthodox Jewish law, you shouldn't be able to use the pill because essentially it's an abortifacient. And I've talked the same thing to some of the Catholic priests. And, you know, it's become so standard and used in both religious circles that they don't want to even look at that issue.
Well, I know that the pill is such a danger to our health, and I think that's really what's not communicated clearly, which is why we're having this conversation, because the pill, first of all, is depleting the body of so many key nutrients. I mean, like your B vitamins, you get depleted in B vitamins, you get depressed, you don't have energy, you are greater risk of DNA damage. The pill can create more inflammation in the body, which is related to autoimmune diseases. It can impair the functioning of the thyroid, which also relates to the weight gain and depression and greater risk of, you know, heart disease and high cholesterol. I mean, when you go down the list of all the nutrients that are depleted by the pill, and then you look at all the health risks that are associated with those deficiencies, you see why the pill is robbing women of their health.
100%, you know, and I two things I want to say about this. One, read the package insert. It's no different. You wouldn't buy anything in the store without reading the label of what you're going to buy, you know, or the instructions, you know. Read the package insert and then make a more informed decision. Somehow the impression that the pharmaceutical industry has given us, there's only two choices: birth control pill or being pregnant. That's the only two choices, you know, and leaves out all the other things that can be done. But I can tell you the second thing that I want to talk about, and that is the massive increase of sexually transmitted diseases in our society. We kind of think of that doctors like to give things names. And so they say, oh, well, we don't longer have syphilis, we hardly have gonorrhea. Yeah, but look what we have now. We have AIDS. Oh my God, I can't even think of it. We have so many other ones now. It's not limited to those. And forget about the words. Are there more or less sexually transmitted disease today than there were 50 years ago? Clearly, everyone's going to say there's more. And the birth control pill may be one of the biggest causes. Outside of the fact that it allows for sexual relations with the thought of not getting pregnant, but it also leads to an environment in the vagina which is it weakens the structure there so that you're receptive to picking up anything a sexually transmitted disease more than if you weren't on the birth control pill.
Absolutely, because it alters the mucosal membrane found vaginally. It also, again, by depleting B6, folic acid, these key vitamins are associated with a higher risk of cervical dysplasia. So if you are using the pill, which is depleting these key vitamins that protect you from the damage or potential cancer, then you are going to be at higher risk. It
exactly.
Only makes sense. And do we tell women, if you're on the pill, you must get supplementation, you must compensate for what the pill is depleting in your body? When does that happen?
Yeah, essentially it doesn't, because, you know, it's the all-end treatment, you know, just unbelievable. I mean, really unbelievable. There's nothing else that can be said about that.
So, before we move on to the third topic we want to talk about, I just want to ask you, number one, what do you say to young women who want a birth control option?
Well, I'm old-fashioned, you know. What I tell them is that the experiment of sexual relations outside of a marriage doesn't work. I mean, but of course that's old-fashioned. But the other thing is there are other means. There's diaphragm. There's which no one wants to use as such. There's condoms. And I can't imagine any woman today having relations with someone that she isn't in a stable relationship and allowing to have unprotected sex. And the birth control pill is not protected sex. It may protect you against pregnancy, but it doesn't protect you against all the other type of diseases that you may pick up.
And it makes you more vulnerable to all
more
of
vulnerable.
Them. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
very,
the point.
Very scary. You know, it's... But my daughter told me, Jen told me something very interesting. She had many women, young women in her class, who weren't even in a sexual relationship, but were still taking the birth control pill because they were under the impression that if they stopped, they couldn't start again. I mean, it was very interesting. I couldn't get over that.
So one other thing I want to say is that the pill, we're talking about it as a contraceptive, but the fact of the matter is, and you know this as well as I do, that the pill is prescribed to 12-year-olds for acne. It's prescribed for heavy periods, lack of periods, painful periods. It's prescribed for endometriosis, ovarian cysts, or prescribed just to help women, you know, eliminate the need of having a bleed at an inconvenient time. So we're not even talking about the pill as a birth control means. The majority of women who are prescribed the pill are used it as a treatment for various
Thank you.
Issues.
You know, I forgot about that because when Jen spoke at a Orthodox Jewish day school to juniors and seniors, none of them who said they were in a sexual relationship, but every one of them was on the pill, and they said because my doctor said it will regulate my period and it's good for my skin. Unbelievable. I mean, it was even more mind-boggling.
So that's what's scary for me. And by the way, I was one of those teenagers put on the pill to regulate period, and I always like to say, how absurd a thought is that? How can a pill that depletes your key vitamins, your minerals, alters your gut flora, can put you at risk of MS, of breast cancer, ever regulate your period? Where is the logic in that? And there isn't any. It's absurd. It's absurd thinking.
Exactly. You know.
What can we say? my message to women, especially those that are dealing with issues that the doctor thinks will be solved by the pill, which will never solve anything because the pill doesn't heal the body, is to go get healthy. Go work with people like yourself, like myself. Get healthy. Heal at the root cause level. Improve your nutrition. Deal with inflammation. Deal with stress. Deal with candida. Deal with the issues that are driving these imbalances. Get healthy, and you eliminate your issues.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for the last part of our conversation, talk about vaccines, because I know you are such an advocate for people, educating people about the dangers of vaccines. Where are we at? What's going on?
Well, I can tell you the most exciting study that came out just recently, and my late mentor, Dr. Mendelsohn, said, you always look at the establishment literature because most of the time what they say is not what they do. Let's start with ear infections. The American Academy of Pediatrics just 6 months ago came out with a statement that of the 25 million ear infections in children, 21 or 22 million should not be treated with antibiotics. What a powerful statement.
Wow.
Of course, nothing changes because then they gave their list of who should be, and it should be up to the doctor's discretion. The list was so long of who should be that it was kind of like the old, the young, and all everyone in between. And the same thing now, they came out with a study, and they were trying to convince parents to vaccinate their children. And they sent out three messages, and one more harsh than the other. And at the start of the study, 75% of the people that they were addressing, this was an ad campaign, were willing to think about vaccinating their child. At the end of the ad campaign, only 45% were willing, and they wrote, pro-vaccine messages actually backfires. And they couldn't get over it. And they tried to label the parents who weren't vaccinating as not looking at the data, not looking at the studies, were ignorant of the side effects, you know, were anti-science, and they lacked social consciousness. You know, that was the way they labeled them. Now, I've been involved with vaccine choice for over 40 years, and I can tell you just the opposite is true. The parents who decide not to vaccinate their children have done extensive research into the vaccine issues, looking both pro and con, and can't get comfortable with the idea of injecting toxic substance into their children. The parents who vaccinate, for the most part, don't want to even think about it. I do what my doctor tells me. And that's not what we're supposed to be. As doctors and educators, we're supposed to lay out the options to people and let them make an informed decision. When there's no debate or no discussion about side effects of vaccines, all you have to do is read the package insert. And I find it incredible that this flu season, they were recommending influenza vaccine to pregnant women. So I went back and I looked at the drug insert for one of the flu vaccines. They all have the same thing. And it said, there's no study that's shown that this vaccine is safe in pregnant women. Now, let me tell you something. How could you? I was taught in medical school, you don't give a pregnant woman anything. You don't give her a Tylenol during pregnancy, if at all possible. And yet we're going to inject flu vaccine. And by the way, it should not be called flu vaccine. It should be called influenza vaccine. There are hundreds of strains of flu, but only three strains are put into the influenza vaccine. But it gives you the illusion that you're protected against all these type of strains of viruses. I can't understand it, Cheryl. I can't understand how doctors can be going against. Here, the drug companies, the evil villains as such, are telling you there's no data to show that it's safe, and doctors are saying, don't even read that. In fact, most doctors tell their patients, do not read the package inserts. It may scare you.
So you really are advising and educating people to stay away from vaccines. That's the bottom line. There is no evidence that vaccines are safe or effective.
My late mentor, Dr. Mendelsohn, made the statement, and he was the national medical director of Head Start. Under his care were more than a million Head Start young students, children actually. And he was involved with the largest vaccine program in the world. And when he came to the University of Illinois, all of a sudden, and this was just before our oldest son was born, and I met him, I took his class and became a lifelong student of his. And he made the statement in 1973, no vaccine has ever been shown to eliminate any infectious disease. Hmm. And the second statement was even more prophetic. Every vaccine causes neurological damage. You may not notice it right away, but everyone causes neurological damage. This is 1973, before we had the outbreaks of ADD, ADHD, autism spectrum. It didn't exist for all practically in 1973. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see a rise starting in about the 1990s. And what happened in the 1990s? The vaccine schedule went from 8 or 10 vaccines in the first 2 years of life to more than 60 vaccines, and the flu vaccine to babies, and the hepatitis B vaccine to newborns. These are things that never existed and have never been shown to be of any consequential value.
You know, the sad fact is, and this is where it's really time for everyone to wake up, the only reason why 60 vaccines or so are prescribed to our infants is to feather the nest of the pharmaceutical industry. Isn't that the truth?
I would say it's kind of interesting when you look at the pharmaceutical industry. Every one of the major companies has bought a vaccine arm, and they realize that their patents are running up on their Lipitors and their Prilosex, and now you've got an endless supply of new customers. Customers is the right word for it. You can inject children with vaccines, adults with vaccines. You can make them sicker, then you can sell them your drugs. But there's over 200 new vaccines in the pipeline for diseases that we don't even know exist. that it's become a mantra: disease, vaccine, disease, vaccine. The Hollywood industry has picked it up also. Whenever you see these outbreaks of these plagues, what's the first thing to say? We've got to develop a vaccine to get rid of it. I asked these doctors, how did tuberculosis go away without vaccines? How did cholera plague go away without vaccines? How did Rocky Mountain spotted fever go away without giving a vaccine? These are very lethal diseases, and they all fall back to say polio. That's the magic word to try to get us to be scared of not vaccinating. If you remember, just recently they had an outbreak of 20 cases of paralysis in children in California. And what did they say? Polio-like outbreak in California. A couple of the researchers have looked at it, and every one of these children received a flu vaccine shortly before this episode. And we know that one of the side effects of the flu vaccine is Guillain-Barré, a paralysis which kind of looks like polio. Scary.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. And I guess since we're talking about vaccines, we need to talk about the other big vaccine that has come on the market really strong, and is the Gardasil vaccine, which is, you know, prevent cervical cancer, which, of course, is not what it does at all. But they're just I post a lot of this on my Facebook page, all the reports of these young women or parents of these young women who have died or have been severely brain damaged as the result of the Gardasil vaccine, which is causing massive inflammation to occur in so many women.
Very frightening. I mean, and now they're trying to extend it to men. You know,
boys.
Young men, young boys. Yeah, boys. Yeah, boys. You know,
boys, 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to be educated. And the education doesn't require being a rocket scientist. At the end of the day, you have to tell your young women and young men, you have to be very careful today in the sexual relations field. You've got to be very, very careful, because you may regret what you do. For a moment of passion, you may, the rest of your life, have serious problems.
So what are you recommending to your parents when it comes to vaccines? What's your advice?
My advice is, you're asking a really good question here, you know. Well, of course, in our practice, we do not vaccinate at all. There's surely enough doctors who will vaccinate I don't have to be the one to do it. I recommend that they should be educated, make an informed decision. The title of my book is Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate. And what happens is, when most people read the package inserts, read some of the studies, read the detrimental things that are said about people who don't vaccinate. You know, it's that's what happened with that study. It was overkill. They try to scare them into it. And when we see what goes on with our government, with the spying, with the NSA, with the FDA approving drugs that are dangerous, with the Center for Disease Control came out just recently and said that you're better off to not breastfeed if you're going to vaccinate, because the breast milk is going to interfere with the production of antibodies from the vaccine. When there's a clear distrust in government, and when the government is promoting something like the flu vaccine, just to jump from one topic to the other, which most of America decides they don't want, we know that they most probably are lying about other things. And so I tell people, you have to make your own decision, you know, but I will be more than happy to point you in the direction of why the vaccines have been a 200-year failed experiment.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking of Bill Gates Foundation trying to go into Africa with the, I think they're doing the measles, right? Aren't they doing the measles?
Polio.
Polio vaccine. What's really going on there? You know, it makes you wonder.
Well, you know, Bill Gates has always been involved with eugenics, and a lot of people think that that's, you know, that's kind of behind all of this. But forget about that. He's misinformed. He's misinformed.
Yeah.
Let's take it simple. Just because you're an expert in one field, and he was most probably one of the foremost geniuses of our time in computers, doesn't give you the least bit of credibility, or it shouldn't, in something else. The idea of using Hollywood stars to promote vaccines or the government's healthcare plan is absurd. What gives them the right to just because they're a well-recognized person? That doesn't, it makes more sense if a basketball player endorses a gym shoe because they've used them, but and they know which works better or not. But how do you take Hollywood actors to endorse healthcare issues? That's one of the problems with the government being involved in healthcare.
And again, it just points us to the fact that we've got to be informed. We have to do our homework. We have to get educated, because it's so easy to have the wool pulled over our eyes if we aren't. And that's why you're passionate about educating, and I'm passionate about educating and empowering people with truthful information. So where do people go, Mayor, to learn more of the work you have, your you know, information, your research, your website, your Facebook page? Tell us where to go.
I send out an email about 3 or 4 times a week, and you can go to my website, homefirst.com, HOMEFIRST.com. You could sign up for the email list, and you'll be informed of all the things I'm going to do, including an upcoming series on webinars, which will be no shots, no school, no sports, no camp, not true. I will explain to people how they can legally avoid vaccines. That's the reason I went to law school, to be able to understand it from a legal standpoint and to help families to be able to write legal waivers for vaccines.
Even if they're not in the Chicago area?
Even if they're not in the Chicago area, that's exactly right. The webinar hopefully will expand way beyond the Chicago area. In the Chicago area, if you're listening in the Chicago area, please come and see me. That's not a problem. I have an offices in Arlington Heights and Naperville, and one of the most enjoyable and rewarding aspects of what I do is I help the thousands of families who do not want to give vaccines to be able to get into school.
And what about your Facebook page? You have a growing fan list.
Oh, there. Yeah. It's, my Facebook page, you can go to Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, and go to my Facebook page and like me on Facebook. I'm getting to know there's a great ad on TV. An elderly woman is talking to her friends, and she said, "I'm posting things on my wall." And she's there on her wall, and she's got a lot of pictures on her wall in her house. And then one of her friends says, "That's not the way you do it." She said, "I'm defriending you." Sometimes an ad is so good, you don't even know what it's for. And that's not good in advertising. I have no clue what it was for, but that was just so fabulous. It's kind of the way I felt, you know. If you go to my Facebook page, you know, that like me, and I have right now a wonderful pamphlet, an e-booklet, put together by Neil Miller, who's a very dear friend. He's been a vaccine researcher for more than 25 years. And if you go to my fan page, that's Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, and there's a little icon, you can click on it, and you can download a copy of the, it's called Vaccines, Tricks and Lies, Tricks and Tips, How to Avoid Vaccine Fraud.
Well, Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, I love our conversations. I know we can talk for hours because we're just so passionate, so aligned in what we're doing. And I just, again, want to thank you for the wonderful work you've been doing all these years and your commitment to helping to bring the truth out. And it's not always easy to be, as I like to say, the heretic. But thank you from the bottom of my heart.
My dear friend, Dr. Cheryl, thank you.
And you take care, and we'll have you back soon, Mayor, because you always have great things to share with us. You take care now.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you all. I'm almost speechless. This has been such an amazing show. Please remember to go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, or my Facebook page of the same name, because I'm always posting great information there. And can never get too much knowledge, I'll tell you that much. So until next time, always remember to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.